Welcome to the show.
Welcome to the Selby Is Godcast War Draft, where TJ and Zach will select players from the 2024 Guardians in an attempt to compile a roster of the most Fangraphs war. May the best host win.
Oh, this is like WrestleMania, the Super Bowl, the Oscars, I don't know. All rolled into one. So much on the line here.
I can't believe you got Winston Churchill to do our intro. How much did that run you?
The whole budget that we had saved up over the past 3 years of doing this. Whew, this is a lot of fun. This is one of my favorite shows of the year. We've already had a number of people asking this morning, when's it going to be released? When's it going to come out? We're recording now, and you are now listening to it. Welcome. It's inside you now. It's inside your eardrums. It's TJ and Zach, the Godcast War Draft. And there's been so much preparation, so much buildup, weeks and weeks, just short of us having a Limp Bizkit-style face-to-face vignette to face off here. I feel like Cody Rhodes because you already kicked my ass once, but I'm coming back. I got to finish my story. I want to take you down. I want to take you down. So I'm ready. I'm ready.
All right, so we got TJ's intro out of the way. Now let's introduce the three-time reigning War Draft champion. And here I am. How does it feel?
Get to tell who's in charge of production on this show.
How does it feel to be you in this situation? I mean, I can't, like, you came back wanting more.
At this point, I think just our listeners enjoy me losing as much as I often do in the War Draft. Now, I think maybe when we revisited this last year at the halfway point, it seemed like I was on a way to a path to victory. But no. Mm-hmm. No, and no matter what, it's not like, well, you've won the first pick every time and you've taken Jose. No, we've gone back and forth on this. I've taken Jose, you've taken Jose. It seems like the years that I take Jose is the years that Bieber's healthy, you get Bieber, and you're fine. And then the years that I take Bieber, he's hurt. I need to learn from this exercise, clearly. But I am ready to take these picks. As we explained in the intro, it's going to be a back and forth between the two of us. We're trying to compile a list of the most Fangraphs war by the end of the season. But a lot goes into this because if a guy gets hurt, you lose the war. If a guy gets traded, you don't get that war. Shane Bieber, if he were to get traded at the deadline, I'm not going to get the war if I had taken him with his new team. It's only for what he is doing in Cleveland. And so it's not just about building the best team. It's about trying to compile the most wins above replacement that you possibly can, courtesy of Fangraphs. So this is a different strategy than I'm trying to build a nine here with every position. No, it's all about accumulating war.
And this is our way to preview the season. We're not going to give you the, here's what you can expect at second base. Here's what you can expect with the third member of the bullpen. No, we'll cover pretty much everybody here. Or at least who we think the top 26 players will be. And I feel like it's a good way to just get everybody ready while we talk tons of trash as well.
Well, we can do this as we go along. Let's not wait any longer. Let's get to the moment everyone has been waiting for. You've got the coin flip in the Super Bowl, but that pales in comparison to rock, paper, scissors to decide the top pick in the War Draft. Now, I feel like since I've lost as much as I have, I should just get the top pick.
Is that how you like to operate in life?
Yeah, yeah.
You want things handed to you?
Sort of, yeah. If you're asking, sure, I will do
that.
And
look, I've seen the tweets and the posts on Discord, and I know we make it a whole gimmick, and we joke around about, you know, how do we want to set up rock, paper, scissors? And it ends up taking us 5 minutes. I've seen people throwing out betting lines
and how
long it'll take.
We're not doing it.
We're just going to get right to it. And we're going to do it rock, paper, scissors, shoot.
Yes.
Or do you do 1, 2, 3?
We're not doing this again. You should know by now. It's on shoot. So rock, paper, scissors, shoot.
Hotel Wi-Fi is a little shaky.
No, we've already survived the worst of the worst. So it couldn't be any worse than what we've already experienced in Goodyear.
All right.
Okay. So now that you're no longer on America Online to get on the show, let's do this. Rock, paper, scissors, shoot. Are you ready? Here we go.
Yeah. So rock, paper, scissors, shoot, and you need to see it in the camera?
I need to see it on the
camera. This is on YouTube for everyone to watch. Yes. There's no way it can be.
No.
Hold on, let me think of my strategy
here.
Can't
claim otherwise.
I spent so much time prepping my War Draft big board. But I didn't think about my rock, paper, scissors big board.
That's why you're going to lose. Okay, let's do it.
Yeah. Do you go, how do you choose? Hold on. I got to think about what you think I'm going to go
with. You know what this is? This is the big championship match, and then the guy keeps getting outside the ring. let's ring the bell. Let's go.
Because if you think I'm going to go rock, then I want to go paper, but then you know I'm going to think you're going to think I'm going to go rock, so I really want to go scissors. Or do I want to go rock because you think I'm going to go scissors?
Do you want to just hurry up and do this so we can get into the picks, the real reason why people are here?
All right. Ready?
Yes. Rock, paper, scissors.
This
shoot.
Is too slow. No. We got to, come on. What's the pace? What's the tempo here so that we're...
Rock, paper, scissors, shoot.
All right.
Rock,
paper,
scissors,
shoot. I went rock, you went scissors.
Yeah.
All right,
take your top
pick.
Let's go.
This feels unfair. I don't even need the first pick.
Don't even need the first pick.
All right. I was actually hoping to get the second pick because
it's more interesting.
Bold take. Mm. Hot take. Mm. But I'll go with Jose Ramirez.
Shocker. This will be the year he wins the MVP. You watch, everyone. You just watch. This is how this goes.
I think we talked about this recently, whether there's a better chance he could win a batting title or MVP, and I went with batting title in my bold prediction for The Athletic, and I'm actually going to change that answer because this dude, and I never want to put much into spring training, he hit in spring training like he might hit 40 home runs this year, like just turning on stuff. And the power, and you saw him get foul one off of his calf the other day, and then the very next pitch launches one out of the ballpark. I don't know. Everyone's trying to write him off already. I think he's in for a big year.
Name names. Who is trying to write him off?
I don't know. I can't think of it off the top of my head, so I'll just assume Benjamin J. 76.
I thought you were going to say they go to a different school, so don't worry about it. They're in Canada. I don't know. Yeah, this will be the year he wins the MVP because you've taken him number one overall. Safest pick on the board here. It's unsexy, but it's smart. No one's going to challenge you on taking Jose. But this year, I felt like the past several years, there hasn't been a lot of conversation at the top. They were sort of separated into tiers. You had the top two guys, then you had this list, but it didn't extend much past like 6 or 7 on my big board, and then there was a lot of just toss-up. This year, I feel like there's some interesting names all the way down until I wrote 30 different names because I wasn't sure how many picks you were going to have and what I was going to be feeling in the moment. So I wrote them down, but this feels like there are some legitimate conversations to be had from two beyond. And I feel like, despite the fact that maybe Bieber is set up to have this great year, I'm worried about if this team stumbles, if they're at the deadline and he's pitching well, they're going to trade him. I'm going to lose all that war. There's always the risk factor of injury again. So I'm going to go with a guy that I just feel like he's so good defensively. He brings speed. And I think he's going to be better than he was offensively this past year. Andrés Giménez.
Hedges.
Speed. I said speed. What speed have you seen from Hedges? I'm going Andrés Giménez. because
see how fast he takes his shirt off.
This is a war draft, and he just seems like a war sponge. He just soaks it up because of the nature of the way that he plays the game. And if he's even remote, just a little bit better offensively, he's going to compile a lot of war here. We saw him do it 2 years ago. So I feel really good about just the safety of my top pick accumulating a ton of that war.
Yeah, I was. Part of me was kind of hoping you got first pick because I think Andres Giménez has a legitimate shot of leading the team in this category. So I think it's a great pick. I think his floor is just so high, and he's so well-rounded that bodes well for him. All right. So this is where it gets tricky. I think those two are in a tier of their own. Then, like you said, I think there's a group here where could go a lot of different ways. Like, which starting pitcher do you think has the best season? Are there other guys who could, maybe a position player or two who could crack this tier? I'm going to go Shane Bieber, and I understand the risks here. I think what he does well is liked by Fangraph's WAR. He's going to limit walks. I think the strikeout rate's going to tick back up some. And I think more than anything, the thing he wants to be able to do this year is just post. It's throwing 180, 200 innings, setting himself up for a big contract. Now, might the last two and a half months of this season, his WAR go to the Atlanta Braves version of this podcast or the Baltimore Orioles version of this podcast? I don't know. But I'm willing to take that risk because I think even if I only get 4 months of him, I'm still getting a decent number.
The Lenny Webster is Godcast. Part of me doesn't feel great about your top two picks being extreme boom. Jose is safe, but he also has a boom potential here. But Bieber, if he stays on the team and he pitches like we've seen the velocity increase in spring training, you are off to a tremendous start. And I feel like you're taking guys that could be at the top of their profession. Jose's going to be competing for an MVP, and Bieber might be setting himself up to be a Cy Young finisher this upcoming year. And so I don't feel great about those being your top two picks. But I'm gonna err on this side of caution here because I've been burned before, and I'm going to go with more safety. You mentioned posting. I think this man will post. He might not be the best pitcher on the staff, but I'm hopeful that he's there every fifth day giving you, a really good performance, and that's Tanner Bibee. And I between Bieber and Bibee, say that five times fast, I was...
Throw Beattie in there.
And Beattie, too, who's not anywhere on my big board here.
Oh.
Or is he? I was even going to take Bibee over Bieber just for the safety factor of it.
Yeah, I do think he is being overlooked. I feel like I've read so much about Tarek Skubal and Pablo Lopez and Cole Reagans, and Pablo Lopez is different than those guys. He could win Cy Young. But like Skubal and Reagans, like, you're hoping they do what Bibee did last year. He already accomplished it. He was fantastic. Two starts, he gave up more than three earned runs. That's it. He had a sub-3 ERA in his rookie year. He was consistent. He was durable. It's surprising to me. All right. Well, I really like this next pick because I almost went with this guy second. But I'm looking at low floor, and I'm going to go Stephen Kwan. I know I can count on him for elite defense. I know I can count on him to play 150 plus games. And why can't he lead the league in hits? I think that was one of my hot takes. I don't know. We hear all the time, well, he's going to be more aggressive in hitters counts. And we know he gets in a lot of hitters counts. And I don't know what that looks like. I don't know what that translates to. I don't know if he's going to hit 12 home runs, but I think he learned from last season. And I think year three for any player is the year where there are no surprises. Like, it's, you know what you need to do, you know how to do it, and it's time to, like, prove, like, this is the year for him where I think it can all come together. So I'm going to go Stephen Kwan.
That's a good hedge of a bet here compared to taking your second pick of Bieber. Kwan feels like I sort of felt with Jimenez to a lesser degree, but just he's going to compile a lot of war, and it just raises the floor a little bit. So I understand that. I need to go the other way here. Now, I've taken two what I feel like are safe picks at my top two picks. I need a guy with a little bit of that boom potential I'm talking about. I'm going to take Tristan McKenzie. Motivated, of course. He wants to prove that he is that durable pitcher he was 2 years ago. He's the same front of the rotation sort of arm that he was a couple of years ago. Am I nervous about it? Sure. Taking any of these pitchers. I mean, even Bibee, who I said, can we post every 5 days? Maybe, because all pitchers are healthy until they're not. But McKenzie could pitch better than Bibee. He could, at the end of the day, he might be the best pitcher on this staff if he's healthy and tapping into what he did in 2022. So I'm a little nervous because I want to accumulate as much of this as I can, and there's a potential that he could miss time because he's done it before. But I also feel like there's some potential in there to maybe be the best of my war team.
So I saw some people talking about his velocity during his tune-up on Tuesday. And it was something I was watching too. Like, I was looking at the scoreboard and there were a lot of 90, 91s, 92s, which, I don't know, put him in an actual, like, Seattle on Monday stadium with some fans in it and some stakes, and maybe that ticks up a bit. But also, he just started snapping all these curveballs late in his outing, and no one could touch them, and they're a thing of beauty. And then I was like, you know, I know that's always been his best pitch. And I went to Baseball Savant, and I don't think I realized just how lethal of a curveball he's got. Do you know that in, we'll ignore last year because he was injured, but do you know 2022... opponents hit 120 with a 203 slugging against it. 2021, opponents hit 114 with a 127 slugging percentage. 2020, opponents hit 077 with an 077 slugging percentage. Like, every year that pitch is devastating. And now he needs to be able to set it up with the fastball, use the slider as an in-between. But we forget. We get so caught up in the injury paranoia and then fastball velocity, and I'm guilty of it too. We forget what makes these guys really good sometimes. His curveball is just, it's got to be one of the best in the league.
To me, it's the velocity, because that sets up the curveball to be more lethal. Every pitcher is going to be better if they're throwing harder. That's just the reality here. That said, it's also about the conviction in throwing it, and it's about finishing the pitch and your follow through and having the confidence as you're letting it go that you're not, like, easing it up there. You said the key word with the curveball, snapping it off. And just having the confidence as you throw it. So the velocity, yes, but it's just the conviction in which you're throwing it. And that, in some ways, probably leads to the velocity, too. I'm willing to give him an early pass here on the velocity because he has to be able to trust his body. He has to feel like, I can let it go the way that I want. Maybe I'm not emptying the tank, but I'm still early in this process. I want to be sure that my arm is where it needs to be. And so, as opposed to Bieber, who really chased the velocity, McKenzie's just, I need to make sure I make it through 170, 180 innings this year. And I'm hopeful that as the year progresses a little bit, we see his velocity tick up, that he has not only just more strength, but also the belief that I can let this go, and there's not going to be any issues here. I'm going to be able to make my next pitch, despite the fact that I just threw this one 94.
All right, my fourth pick. Kind of surprised this guy's lasted this long. Do you know who ranked fifth on the Guardians in WAR last season among position players?
Bo Naylor.
Yeah. Do you know that Bo Naylor played about 40, 45% of the games that all the guys ahead of him did? Yeah. Give me Bo Naylor. Give me a full season of Bo Naylor. Just love all the different things he could do. I think he'll be fine defensively, and he can hit for power. He can draw walks. He can maybe steal some bases. I don't know how many games he'll start at catcher, but if he stays healthy, feels like a safe bet. And maybe a dark horse, like all-star candidate slash top seven catcher in the league candidate, no?
Yeah, well, I mean, if he's performing like he did at the end of last year, that's not crazy to think about at all. All right, that leads me to who I believe is probably the last of the next tier, the guys that could finish with a significantly higher WAR than, say, like Josh Naylor is a fine player, great hitter, but because of being a first-base DH, your WAR is kind of capped unless you're just having a season of all seasons offensively. So this next man is the last guy, I think, before you get to the guys that finish somewhere between 2, 1.5, 1. It's going to be Gavin Williams, and I don't like having two guys that I'm significantly, maybe not significantly, but at least a little bit worried about making it through a
full
season.
For injured elbows?
Well, I took McKenzie last year, too. That didn't work out so well for me. Apparently, I didn't learn my lesson. But I just feel like it's, if I let you take Williams and then he has the type of season I think he can have, I'm not going to feel great about it. So I'll have to take Gavin Williams here. Have to.
Yeah, I mean, the ceiling is an ace. I think he gets overlooked too. He was really good last year, and it just, most of his starts, it was like, I know there's more in there. And he would say that, Carl Willis would say that, so maybe we'll actually get to see what was in there, what is in there. So yeah, this next group, I think this is where this is won. Unless there's a significant injury to one of the stars we've taken, like there's maybe 10 or 12 guys here who are like in weird purgatory. I'm like going back and forth between four different people. I will go the safe route. I think it's safe. And I'm going to go Logan Allen just because of the potential for innings. And if he commands the baseball, limits walks, that helps his WAR. I'm just going to go safe. I kind of want to see who you take. So I'll go Logan Allen. I can't let you have all the starting pitchers.
It's fascinating that as I make my big board, we rarely deviate too much as we're going through it. I feel like I could have just said, if you had the first pick, here would be your team, based on the fact that I would go every other pick on my board. We're so close. I had Logan Allen a little bit before, or a little bit after this man who I just mentioned, Josh Naylor. I know he's going to be there, and I know he's going to accumulate offensive stats. And yeah, this is a WAR exercise, but you hit in the middle of the lineup, even if you're a DH some, I feel like he's good enough to just give me that really good 1.5, maybe 2 wins. And I feel really good about that here compared to some other names that are a little bit further down that are a little bit more risky. So I'll take Josh Naylor, the guy that I know is going to be on the field and playing a lot. And provided he stays, he's healthy, he's going to be in there. So Josh Naylor, continue to hit the lefties, I'm going to feel better about it.
Yeah, I mean, he's had his two good seasons, but he's only played 120 games in them. So if he can go 145, you know, it could be pretty interesting. I'm going to go Emmanuel Clase. His last three seasons, 2.2, 2.3, 1.7. So 1.7 is the floor here. I like that. It's just this part in the draft, just being able to bank on two wins. And this is my new Franmil Reyes, where I'm just going to predict every year that he's going to start missing more bats. It's still hard for me to wrap my head around how he doesn't record more strikeouts. And I think that is a focus. So maybe this is the year he does it, and then he's back to 70 innings and it's 90 strikeouts and he doesn't walk many guys. And you're limiting the amount of stupid bloopers and choppers that end up wrecking your ninth inning.
I guess, would you feel better if you had gone into the journey back 2 months ago, or whenever they acquired Scott Barlow, let's say, I would have felt like they were going to take it easier on Clase this year. They're going to look for games where if he's worked two out of the last, last four, and okay, pump the brakes here. Let Barlow handle the ninth because it's setting up to be that way. But with the way the bullpen is right now, can they do that? And so that's going to benefit you because Class A is just going to be right back in there every single night.
That was the hope. But you're right. It's a lot easier to maybe plan for that when you don't have Tim Herron pitching the seventh.
This is... So we've gone through all the obvious ones, I feel like. This is where it's really going to start to separate. When I got to number 12 on my list, this is really where I was struggling. But I'm going to take the guy that is playing a position that is just going to accumulate a lot of war. I'm taking a risk that they're going to stick with this man at shortstop for the entire season. But I'm going to take Brian Rocchio.
I like that.
There's a lot of different scenarios here. There's the one where he keeps that position and he's fine. There's the one where by the end of, middle of May, he's already been swapped with Arias. Maybe he's back in the minor leagues. So that's a dangerous pick on my part. But also looking at the rest of, there's no obvious, how did you miss this guy? So I'll just take Rocchio, and I'm just going to bank on him being some mix of what he had been before 23 and maybe taking the best bits of the plate discipline or, making sure he's making better contact, some of that he had implemented this past year, and can blend them together and just be the top 100 prospect that we've all been waiting on.
I think it's a good pick because if you're picking one of those guys, he's in pole position, I guess. I'm going to go with someone who's not even on the team. I am going to go with Kyle Manzardo. I understand he is a first baseman DH.
Our lists are the same.
But I'm banking on him getting called up reasonably early, drawing a ton of walks, having some pop, or as you crazy people call it, soda. And he seems like, can't you pencil him in for 1.5 WAR?
That's the dream. That's the hope.
Yeah.
Yeah, not too different than my outlook here, because he was right after Rocchio for me. So if you weren't going to take him there, I definitely was going to. I really, if I struggled with Rocchio and Manzardo there, I really struggled now. I think they really like Will Brennan. I think they want to make sure they give him every opportunity to play as much as possible, because even going back last year, he had already surpassed Oscar Gonzalez before the season even started as the guy that was starting on opening day against the righty. I think they really want to try to see what they've got here and are hopeful that maybe some of the changes to the swing and making more impact with the ball is going to be sticky. We'll see. I'm taking Brennan here. Taking Brennan. I don't know what this season is going to look like for him, and I haven't always been the biggest believer, and man, he cannot go through another season where he's drawing walks at like a 2.7 clip or something stupid like that. I just don't think he can do that unless you bring in a ton of power. I'm hopeful, so we'll see.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Helps that he's good defensively. That gives you a little bit of a base there. I'm going to go with someone who I personally am not a huge believer in. I fear that he might play more than he should. But because of that, also we'll have more opportunities to accumulate war. And so I'm going to go Ramon Laureano. I think he's going to play against every lefty. And I think he's going to play against some righties too. I do think he's going to DH a bit, which will hurt this pick. But, and he also could be a trade candidate if they don't need him midseason. But, you know, if he's going to play 5 times a week, he's going to have a chance to accumulate war. That's what we're doing here.
I hate how much we're on the same page here. And I get the same feeling that you've told us for weeks now, that he's going to play a lot. Righty-lefty initially. I'm not always happy about all the righty at-bats he's going to get against right-handed pitching. I get it. You're facing a lefty in the opener? Sure, get him in there because he crushes the lefties. We'll see how that plays out. I really don't want to see the scenario where they're playing Laureano more over even a Brennan or a Floreal, who I just, I want to see some. I'm not saying it has to be a strict right-left platoon, but don't just play Laureano 6 days a week. I'm not going to be happy about that. All right, we're to the point in the draft. Remember, like you get to like the third, fourth, fifth round. They've done some contest and some fan is now going to announce a pick for every team. Well, we're to that point in our draft, and I'd like to welcome my son, who is now going to announce my next pick.
With the next pick in the draft, my dad selects Tyler Freeman.
Thank you. Wait. Thank you.
What? It was Laureano or Freeman for me. What if I would have taken Freeman?
I have more clips.
Does that mean I acquire your son?
I happen to have a few recordings. Maybe I'll use them all. Freeman here, because they are telling us that they're not through their words, through their actions, that he could be their legitimate everyday center fielder. And there's no other side of the platoon that's an obvious, well, Floreal's going to take these at-bats. No, because he swings right-handed and he provides the balance that a manager would want with a team that has a lot of hitters that swing from the left side, if you're looking at Brennan and Floreal. So Freeman fits in as this righty, and if they're playing him like it seems like they're going to at the outset, he's going to get a lot of opportunity, a lot of time, and I'm happy about that because we need to find out. This is a man that not too long ago everyone believed in his ability to hit, not hit for power, but just hit and be a high average guy. Was he going to be more than just a league average hitter? We didn't know that, but there was belief that what he's doing in the minor leagues is semi-projectable in the majors. Well, he hasn't gotten a long opportunity, and he's playing a new position now. Maybe the versatility helps his bat stay in the lineup a little bit more. I'm just going to go based on the way that they've acted about, and kind of like I felt like with Will Brennan, I think they're just seeking opportunities to get Tyler Freeman in there. So we'll see. Bet on his talent. We'll see where that takes us.
I'm still a believer. And it's not going to take a ton to be an upgrade over what they've had. So it's kind of amazing they won 76 games last year, honestly. The rookie pitchers helped, but they just got nothing out of so many spots. All right.
Before your next pick, let's recap where we're at here.
Yeah.
Tell everyone through your
eight,
team. Your team thus
eight
far.
Eight rounds. I've got Jose Ramirez, Shane Bieber, Stephen Kwan, Bo Naylor, Logan Allen, Manuel Clase, Kyle Manzardo, and Ramon Laureano.
I hate how much I like your team. I have Jimenez, Bibee, McKenzie, Williams, Josh Naylor, Brian Rocchio, Brennan, and Freeman.
This is where it gets tough.
Oh, this is where it gets tough.
Well, yeah, because now a lot of boom or bust candidates, and there's more bust potential than boom here. I'm going to go Estevan Floreal. I'm making this pick with the complete understanding that there's probably a better than 50% chance that this winds up being zero or negative. But if somehow he clicks and you see the traits that made him so successful in the minors translate to the majors, that's such a valuable player. That's what they were hoping for. This was a low risk, high reward trade with the understanding that the reward being high had a low probability, if that makes sense. And that's how I feel about this pick. I just look at who's left and I think, if the long shot happens, that ceiling is as high as anybody else.
Probably smart to back up my Freeman pick with Florial, because early on, those look like the two candidates to steal the most plate appearances in center field. If I ended up with both of them, I probably would have felt better. I'd like to get Florial later. So this is the first time we really deviated. I had him a little bit further down. I had him at 24th on my list. So that's interesting. Not that I hate the pick. It's just...
but
it's interesting.
I mean, I have my big board, but I'm adjusting as I go because I feel so safe about a lot of my previous picks that I could afford that sort of risk.
Yeah, and this is... keep in mind, again, this is a war draft, so are there going to be relievers that play a bigger role than the third guy on the bench? Yes, but relievers, it's tough to accumulate a lot of Fangraphs war. You could have a great reliever that only gives you 0.7 wins above replacement. That's just those. If you're looking at some sort of more win probability, then you could say a guy played a more pivotal role because he pitched in a more crucial game, but wins above replacement is context neutral. And that plays into my next pick. Despite the fact that there are probably some relievers that are going to play a more pivotal role, guys in the seventh and eighth inning, I think this guy with his versatility is going to help this team out in a number of different ways. And because he's hit lefties before, they're going to find opportunities for him to hit in those situations as well. So I'm going to take David Fry with my next pick. Catch some, first base some, DH some. Could he be the opening day DH coming up in the opener?
Could be. I'm torn. I do like that pick. I do think he can be used in a very advantageous way. I am going to go with Chase DeLauder.
Oh.
I don't know when he's going to come up. I feel much more confident that he's going to come up after the spring he had. It's a weird pick here because for him to come up, some guys that we've already taken have to flop. But then maybe I'm hedging my bets. And he's the kind of guy, based on what we've seen of him, that could come up in July and just throw two war out there in half a season and look like he's going to win the MVP in 2026.
Woo! No, I get it. It is also interesting, like you said, Florial would have to fail. Laureano maybe isn't as good. Guys in the outfield aren't doing their job, and DeLauder's tearing it up, and he makes his way up to the major leagues. But I think as we've done this over the years, aren't we finding out the key thing isn't seeking out the guy that gets you 0.3 in one of the final rounds. It's avoiding the guy that gets you negative 0.7 late in the draft or something stupid like that. So there are times where if you take a guy that doesn't play, that's better than some of the alternatives, because at least you didn't lose any or gain any. You just stayed right where you were at. So there's some to be gained there. Yeah, I'll protect my shortstop pick earlier in the draft with Rocchio. Give me Gabby Arias. Another guy that you're talking about, versatility being the buzzword for this team in spring. Gabby Arias is another guy that brings a lot of versatility. Of course, shortstop, but I think you'll see him some in the outfield. Maybe late game defensive replacements at first base, maybe pinch running. There are ways to keep him involved, even if he's not the starting shortstop. Now, I don't know how he gets into more opportunities. I don't know how he gets how he refines the parts of his game that we've complained about. But there is still some power in there. That's a good, sort of like Fry, another good bench piece to have. A lot of options for a rookie manager. So I will take Gabriel Arias here, and in the case where Rocchio stinks, maybe they flip and Arias is back at shortstop and I've protected myself in some way. I don't know.
You're just trying to have versatility on your roster too. All right, I'm going to go Scott Barlow. Understanding that relievers here don't have the value that other positions do. He peaked a couple years ago at 2.2 WAR. And I think he'd be closer to that than what he was last year when his command was off. Made some midseason tweaks once he got traded to San Diego and was much better after that. So he's going to strike guys out with that off-speed stuff. He's going to hopefully limit walks. And the key here is durability. Can he be another guy back there, especially with all the injuries they've had, who can make 65, 70 appearances? And a lot of them in high leverage. And if he can do that, be effective, be worth his almost $7 million salary that they decided to trade for, strangely, then I like that pick in the 11th round here.
And if the case of losing your closer, Class A goes down for some reason, he'd be the next guy in line, you'd think. I can't let you have the only, well, you took Manzardo too, but I can't let you have the only guy that could come up at some point this year, but we're not exactly sure why. Or when, how it would happen. Give me Juan Brito.
He's taking all the middle infielders?
Well, that's the whole team. So what am I supposed to do? Give me Juan Brito. I don't know when or how, or a lot of guys would have to fail in front of him. I don't know if he would play second base. Jimenez would shift over to shortstop somewhere through the season. Would he somehow find his way through a corner outfield? I don't know. How much happens in a season that you just can't predict? You're not thinking that Andrés Giménez has to go on the injured list, or heaven forbid, Jose's wrist injury is barking. He's got to spend 2 weeks out of the line. I don't know. I don't know how it happened, but I can't wait to see him eventually get that call. And when he does it, I want him to be able to reap the benefits here. So I will take Juan Brito here. And hopefully he just gives me zero and doesn't subtract anything. And at the end of the day, everybody gets what they want.
I think he's going to be a good hitter. I like that pick. I'm going to play it safe here. I feel like I took my risks in the middle rounds, and I'm just hoping that Sam Henches can recover from his finger injury. He's traveling with the team, so he'll throw his side sessions with the team. Hopefully he won't be out too long. And he's been good for one plus WAR pretty much every year. And I also think it's been interesting. Like, he was so good in April and September the last 2 years. Remember last year, he was late getting back to the roster because of an injury. So, can he get to that April-September form before, or August-September form before August and September? Because I think he's given up like one or two earned runs in those 2 months the last 2 years combined. His ERA is like 0.3 or something. You see the flashes of Andrew Miller. Can you do that for more than 2 months? If you can, then I'll be a four-time champ.
Yeah, I'm sad because I would have liked to have taken him earlier, but because of the uncertainty of his health to whatever degree it is, it did push him down my board a little bit. If there had not been that finger issue towards the end of spring, I think he would have been closer to like 15 or 16 on my board. I would have definitely taken him over Barlow. I think you probably would have too. I don't know. So this is also where I have to factor in. It's in terms of WAR, accumulating a lot of innings might get you there too. And so I was thinking, instead of taking a reliever that maybe gives you short bursts and maybe great in that role, I need to look towards guys that maybe in middle relief just accumulate a ton of WAR. Not a ton, but enough. And maybe Hunter Gattis will be that sort of guy this year. We saw Xavier Curry come up and just soak up a lot of innings and They weren't always meaningful innings. They were meaningful in that maybe even in a blowout, they saved your bullpen from having to go to one of your normal guys. And maybe Gattis does that. Maybe he's more. People are saying that he's going to be a seventh or eighth inning option for this team. I like the fact that he struck out a lot of guys in camp. So I feel good about that pick. I wanted to make sure I got Gattis on here. It's because I think a couple different things happen. Either he soaks up a lot of non-meaningful innings and I benefit that, or he finds his way into being more and they pitch him a lot and I'll somehow take the war that way. So we'll take Gattis.
All right. Is this the last round?
I mean, I could keep going if you want to, but I think in the past...
Do we normally do 13?
I think we did 13 in past years. Yeah. I mean, we could do a bonus one if you wanted to this year.
All right, let's do this.
Or just let me take my next five afterwards and I'll add them to whatever.
Let's do 13, and then let's each pick one more player who is not on the roster. Does that make sense? Why are there balloons? I already
celebrating
won.
Already.
Thank you.
God, you're a jerk.
Does that make sense? Like, it has to be someone. In fact, it has to be someone who has not made their major league debut.
Okay.
Is that fair?
Yeah. Yeah, it is. Maybe.
Well, yeah, wait, maybe.
I don't know. Just pick your final pick here. We'll figure this out.
But it depends because my final pick was going to be,
Is it the man I have written down on my paper, number 25?
I mean, I was going to say Joey Cantillo.
Okay. Then take Cantillo.
No, you weren't.
That's actually not who was on mine. I mean, he is on my list, but that's not who was next.
Give me Cantillo. But it's going to take a lot for him to be a major contributor, and I also wonder if he just winds up in the bullpen for the major league team at some point down the stretch. But I actually hate this pick.
That's what I want to have at the press conference. I want to see. Excuse me, you guys took this defensive tackle in the seventh round. Yeah, let me cut you off there. I actually hate this pick. I can't stand it. I don't know what we were doing.
Well, I wanted to save him for the guy who didn't debut yet, but then the way you were talking, I thought you wanted to take him. That's
finally,
all right.
Finally, I tricked you. The one time, yeah. I finally got you.
He could be good. I don't know. I do think the order of operations to get to him, you know, you got to, like, Lively would get a shot, Curry. They still have Carrasco and Beedy. And then it's probably Cantillo. But whatever.
Well, I can't. If we're going to do the exercise that you said, then I can't save this guy because I know you're going to take him next. I think.
I don't know.
Okay, so here. Okay, last pick. Last actual pick. When I got to this point, it's like, how do I separate Morgan from Smith, from Heron, from Curry? Could Curry come up here and soak up some more innings? Maybe. I don't know. Those aren't fun. Give me Angel Martinez. And again, this is so similar to what I said earlier in the draft with Brito. Like, how does, maybe if it's just clear that he could be the shortstop and Rocchio has stunk, but man, how do you, imagine putting all of that on the manager, which I know they won't because it's a collaboration. Send those balloons off again for saying the magic word. But how do you, like, hey, Stephen, here's 17 shortstops. Figure out how you're going to play them all, and we need an answer on which one's the guy by the end of the year. Thanks. I mean, for Martinez, he has to wait for Rocchio to struggle. He has to wait for Arias to not be doing anything in any of the roles that he's been positioned in. Brito has not, he can't be maybe on the same level. You have to understand that Jimenez would be okay with shortstop. That's part of the equation. Or does he want to stay at second base? It seems like this team is really committed to keeping it Jimenez at second base if they can, because if they had any designs on that, I feel like it would have happened. I feel like they would have raised more of an effort to make him the shortstop in spring training. But it seems like they want to keep that benefit they get of having an elite defensive second baseman and then maybe having the good shortstop to pair with it. I don't know how you sift through all that to get to Martinez. But damn, can't I just dream on really cool spring training? Even if it's worth nothing. I don't know. Let's see.
You took Rocchio, Freeman, Arias, Brito, and Martinez. And I think we're going to see Jose Tena at some point. And I think we're going to see Daniel Schneeman at some point.
Yeah. To my point, in the NFL draft, take a quarterback every year.
Every round.
And if you don't have one, do it. Because odds are one of them has to be good. Just keep going back to that slot machine and see what happens. Pull the lever, see what happens. You get lucky that one time. So I have to have, dang it, I have to have the answer in middle infield and on my team somewhere. I have to.
You would think. Or are you going to consolidate some of your middle infielders and offer me a trade?
Maybe that's what I should do.
Are you going to drag your feet for 3 years?
I'm thinking more towards the 3 year thing. All right, give me your team.
Jose Ramirez, Shane Bieber, Stephen Kwan, Bo Naylor, Logan Allen, Emmanuel Clase, Kyle Manzardo, Ramon Laureano, Esteban Floreal, Chase DeLauder, Scott Barlow, Sam Henches, Joey Cantillo. That's a good group. This might be my strongest team in 4 years.
Yeah, we joke about how much rock, paper, scissors means, but it really did, based on how often on my big board here, we just alternated picks from what I had written down. So if I had that top pick, I'd have that team. Instead, I have
the
this
one. The excuses
are
starting on March 27th. I love it.
I felt really good about my team last year and I lost, so I'm going to take the other outcome here. Okay, I have Jimenez, Bibee, Mackenzie Williams, Josh Naylor, Rocchio, Brennan Freeman, Fry, Arias, Brito, Gattis, Martinez. Hey, stop that.
I don't know. I read my roster and you know what I think? I think it's good to be king.
Gonna make me acknowledge you, Roman. How long do you think your title reign is gonna last?
12 years.
I wish the eclipse would have happened prior to us recording this show, because that's gonna, you know, what people are saying, it's gonna lift the veil. Maybe I would have had better ability to pick players after the eclipse as opposed to before it. Ay, ay, ay.
That's always a fun way to preview the season.
Credit
and you didn't even put me on the spot and make me predict their record.
Credit to us. We found a way to do it faster than an hour and a half it used to take us to go through this exercise.
Well, we cut out 30 minutes of rock, paper, scissors. That's why.
That's part of it. We probably actually didn't say anything meaningful about any player. Because we're interested in, hey, we got to get through. It's got to do it. Got to do it fast. Season's here, man.
Crazy.
Patreon.com/SelbyIsGodcast. Join the Discord. We've got so much fun coming up this year. Promise. And then you can laugh at my picks later.